My name is Scooter, and welcome to The Inner Side, produced at KPFT Houston for Free Radio Santa Cruz and community radio stations worldwide.
Episode 71 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, finds President 43 and his Attorney General visiting the Batcave of Count Richard Cheney, the evil vampire at the heart of the administration and Vice President of the Known World. The Kerry Edwards machine is up and running and election season is about to explode upon America. Let us join the President.
George? What's this thing here?
Where?
Over here. Ain't got no label on it.
Well, I don't know. Well, I ain't seen it afore. Let's see, there's a J. Edgar Hoover Memorial, the Joe McCarthy Memorial, the Dulles Brothers.
Over here's Calvin Coolidge. And that empty one there's for Reagan.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Ashcroft. Come on. They's a-waiting in Don's Media Center.
Ah, here you two are. Come in. Come in, quick.
Hey, Henry. Hey, Henry. Don.
Rumsfeld. Gentlemen.
Dick. What's that new case in the hall?
Ah, that shall be my Nixon memorial. I'm having him shipped in from Yorba Linda.
But they buried him, Dick. Wouldn't be right you digging him up.
It's tricky. My minions will have to be quick and clever. I have permission, Ashcroft.
Well, why didn't you say so? That's all right, then.
What's with all the sandbags and barbed wire?
We're being prepared. Not only are the terrorists coming, so are the Democrats.
Where? I'll stop them.
Ashcroft, put your gun away.
They aren't coming immediately, John. But all of America needs to be prepared in any eventuality. Just in case.
Besides, before the conventions, we'll need to raise the terror threat level to disrupt our enemies.
You mean Osama bin Laden?
Bin Laden, George. No, we mean the Democrats.
They're a bother, George. Has Carl or Andy briefed you?
Nope. They's all hiding in Scooter Libby's office. Say they won't come out till after November.
He's ordering in Chinese takeout. They's here for the long haul. Well, I suppose we could poison them.
Now, John. George, it would have been very helpful if they'd briefed you.
There's a serious danger that you might actually lose the election, George.
By God,
we can fix that, can't we?
Will, we had hoped, of course.
Possibly not. Kerry's security is very tight, and we have no guarantee of Supreme Court backups this time.
Well, we got Congress, ain't we?
Would you care for a flak jacket, Mr. President?
We might retain the House, but the Senate looks dicey.
Yes.
And I'm under increasing scrutiny. It will be very touchy if we lose the Senate.
Well, Richard, I warned you about angering the Democrats unnecessarily.
But it's such fun.
It really is. They get all flustered and puffy, and they sputter. Ted Kennedy is a world-class sputterer. It's quite delightful.
I might remind you that they used to say the same things about Bob Dole and you.
Probably why I enjoy it so much. Well, what'd happen if we lose?
We don't care to discuss it.
That won't be good at all.
There is reason to believe that if we lose the election, we will all spend years in court or in front of Congress and end up in jail.
Well, I ain't done nothing. Well, I ain't going to jail.
I'll see to that, George.
You'd have to kill him to prevent it.
He'd at least be an easy target. He'll probably be in the next cell.
Yeah, just a blamed minute. George and me ain't did nothing to get riled about, by gobs. We's appointed by the Almighty, and you can't say nothing he does is good.
Actually, Ashcroft, each and every one of us could go down for a number of years. Being a living head in a tray, of course, I leave no fingerprints, so I'll only do a few years. You and George and Richard are walking constitutional violations.
Well, I don't get it. What we done's illegal.
Quite a bit, George. All of our new environmental policies are suspect.
Much of the Patriot Act, then there's our foreign policy. It's a mess.
Gad, any serious investigation could hang us all. And there's, faith-based initiatives. Ghastly idea.
Master.
What do you think would happen to me in a jail cell, George?
I don't know.
If the bars are iron, I shall be trapped. I would shrivel and die. Really die. Of course, if the bars are steel, I can just pass between them, but I should still be a fugitive. Do you know how annoying that would be?
Well, it wouldn't be doing me too much good, neither.
They'd have to kill me to lasso me, by gobs.
I'm certain that there are any number of Democrats who would be willing to accommodate you, Ashcroft.
Only Democrats?
Why limit ourselves?
And think of poor Rumsfeld here being forced to eat spiders and flies in prison. He tried to leave no fingerprints, but he did it in a highly suspicious manner.
Well, how come you all assuming we gonna lose? We could win.
George, sometimes your faith is really quite touching.
Most of the time, it's simply naive.
Well, how about I just tell everybody it's all your fault? They'd believe me on account I'm honest and trustworthy.
Are you, George? Are you really?
Sure I am. Well, mostly.
Yeah, George.
All right. I'm always right and I don't make mistakes. Like the war. I asked, what did Jesus do? And an answer came to me. Go to war and kill Saddam.
I don't recall Christ declaring war or misleading the UN.
Sure he does.
It's that comic book Bible of his from that weird little publisher in Chino, California. They have a very unconventional interpretation of scripture.
Donald, please, you are giving me hives. George, we are attempting to save our bacon, and the less uncontrolled input from the Oval Office, the better for all involved.
Huh?
He said, shut up.
Oh, okay.
Stay on script, of course.
Well, I ain't talking to no more Irishers.
Under no circumstances will you ever receive an unscripted question again.
Or I get to turn Andy Card over to the Saudis for questioning.
There ain't no torture no Saudi could do. I couldn't do as well or better.
Then you'd have to arrest yourself for violating national and international
and
law.
And I do it too, by gobs. And that's my ruling.
Oh, Ashcroft. You're such a card.
That's pretty good.
What's so funny? I'm serious.
Episode 71 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. Count Cheney was portrayed by the late George McCready. Rumsfeld is portrayed by the late Dwight Fry. John Ashcroft was played by the late Walter Brennan. Dr. Henry's Head was played by the head of Wilhelm von Luftkopf. George was played by Texas Red Menkowitz. This is Pablo T. Flies for the Average Network inviting you to stay tuned.
I have walked through a great ancient temple and developed a skin condition from the Hanging Gardens. Does this mean I should abandon my faith? I used to be a rock star. On stage, I wore rhinestone G-string, leopard skin pasties, high-heeled sneakers, Kevlar buttock protectors, and a penis tube. While I sang, I'd strut around like an angry rooster, gesturing like an evangelistic preacher gone mad. I'd stride to the edge of the stage and hang precariously off the front of the proscenium, held by the back of my belt by a fellow band member. I'd be leaning into the audience, my adoring fans, who'd climb over one another, reaching out just to touch me, to breathe the same air I exhaled. How wonderful it was to be the object of adulation. Wherever I went, crowds lined up behind barricades. Women bursting into tears, shrieking, tearing at their clothes at the sight of me. And me thinking, yes, yes, but knowing, no. No, I can't possibly reach into the crowd to that weeping woman and take her back to my hotel room. It would be wonderful, but wrong, unseemly. I lived in a mansion on top of the Hollywood Hills. The rooms were stuffed with expensive antique furniture, Persian rugs. My bedroom had velour walls, a vibrating floor, and a waterbed with a down comforter and satin pillows. Filled with water from the Adriatic. The staff in the house consisted of a chef, a butler, two maids, a footman, a Japanese gardener, and a game warden to keep track of the deer, the foxes, the peacocks, the rhino, the giraffes, and the other exotic animals. I ate in all the best restaurants, and I arrived by limo, stretch limo. I mean, an extremely long limo with carriage lamps outside the doors, a sun deck, several rooms, and a bowling alley. And eventually I was brought back to the college from which I'd been expelled to be given an honorary degree. I ascended the dais, and I gave a speech on the importance of perseverance and hard work. I said, "I want all you students to understand that deprivation and self-denial are central to progress, that nothing is gained without sacrifice." And as I spoke to the graduating class, the rings on my fingers, the gold chain around my neck, the rhinestones in my graduation gown, the diamond set into my front tooth, all reflected the golden sunshine of that perfect June afternoon. Concentrating, focusing, and refracting the rays of the sun in a blinding light show, such that members of the audience had to put on dark glasses, shield their eyes with their hands, lift their commencement programs in front of their faces, some even pulling their gowns up over their heads in order to continue watching me through the diaphanous material. And finally, one student burst a blood vessel and began bleeding profusely from one ear.
Haze all in my eyes. Don't know if it's day or night. You got me going, and you blew my mind. Tomorrow, or just the end of time. Isaac Hayes. Gabby Hayes. Willie Mays. Helen Hayes. Speaking of Helen, well, it's getting near dark. When the lights be closing your tired little eyes, I'll soon be with you, my nub, and give you that potato-headed surprise. Stay with you, darling, soon. I stays with you till all them stars start to falling. And falling.
Second there, you leather-faced metal freak, and you potato-headed, whatchamacallit.
You talking to us now, son?
Yeah, you bet I'm talking to you. I got something to say right here.
Ain't you the man in black?
Just get yourself ready. It's getting near dark. The light's shining through on you. I'll soon be with you, my love. The morning, and just we two. I'll be with you, darling, soon. I'll be with you when the sea's all dried up.
The seas?
The seas.
You talking drying up?
I'll seize you.
The Average Network presents Chapter 15 of Mr. Schwarzenegger Goes to Sacramento. We journey to the smog-shrouded, mosquito-ridden delta of the Sacramento and American Rivers, to the capital of the Golden State. Here we find Governor Schwarzenegger in his vast pavilion at the heart of the State Building, smoking an imported cigar and bouncing his predecessor, Gray Davis, on the lawn. Let us join him!
Hey, Arnold, cut it out. I'm not competing. I'm just visiting. I just came by to get my last unemployment check. I really need that $281.47.
First you run up the deficit, then you complain because life is tough.
That's not what he said, Arnold.
Mr. Giddy, ow, you're a detective. You know some law. Ow. Is it legal to bounce an ex-governor on a lawn?
Ow. Hell, Davis, I don't know if that's ever come up before.
Don't worry. I looked it up. There's nothing in the state regs about it.
Mighty wise and honorable gubernator.
Rose, is that you?
Hi, Gray. Yeah, Arnold dressed me up like a eunuch in an old Arabian Nights movie. I have to announce people now.
Well, who are you announcing?
Oh, darn. Now I forget.
Wait a minute. It's not really efficient. Okay, up, Gray.
He looks pretty funny in that big satin turban. Why, that...
Yeah, the rolled-up pointy shoes make it.
No question.
I thought so, too.
Arnold, it's your step-uncle, cousin, whatever. It's Senator Kennedy.
Teddy is here. That's fantastic. Hide the brandy, but keep the cigars close, Jake. Show him in, Cruz.
Right this way, Senator. Aren't you Cruz Bustamante?
Yes, Senator, I am.
I thought you usually wore suits. Aren't you
it's
Hispanic?
Arnold's idea, Senator.
I got it from Western Costume, last worn by Andy Devine in She-Devil of the Desert in 1944. It sort of fits the tent motif.
Why do you think it looks ridiculous?
Well, lose some weight.
If I lose weight, it'll all fall off. I think Mr. Bustamante has a valid point, Arnold. We don't want that to happen.
Okay, here, Cruz. Have some imported chocolate. Would you like a cigar, Uncle Ted? They are fantastic.
You're fine, Arnold. Hello, Davis. How are you?
Could be better, Senator. War wound acting up a little.
Fine. Who are you?
Giddy. Jake Giddy. I'm Arnold's private eye, Senator. Honor to meet you, sir.
I would imagine so. Thank you. Wonderful cigar, Arnold.
Not so loud, Uncle Ted. Tom McClintock was here earlier. He might still be around.
It's okay, Arnold. He saddled his horse and rode out about an hour ago after whipping the stable boys.
Whipping stable boys? That's an unfair labor practice, Arnold.
They get paid extra for it.
Part of their union deal, Senator. Great medical. Sides, it's McClintock. We're lucky he doesn't shoot them.
Yeah, the union's got real penalties for that.
When I used to whip them, they'd laugh at me.
You are puny, Gray, and unemployed.
Maybe not for long. I hear I have a perfect DMV personality.
Well, now that you mention it, Gray.
So, Ted, what can I do for you? Would you like an avocado? It's fantastic to see you.
I was just in town to deliver Sarge. To Maria, just to be safe.
Oh no, is it the Alzheimer's?
No, that's not even noticeable yet. Friars Club roast, drunk as a skunk, kept trying to talk to a poster of Eugene McCarthy. Eunice is off doing Kerry fundraisers. Who are you voting for, Arnold?
Well, George still hasn't freed up the energy money that the Fed owes us, so I might vote for Kerry. I think maybe George is nuts anyway.
Well, Cheney certainly is. What about you, Mr. Giddy?
Well, I always vote for the last politician I talk to before I hit the voting booth, so I'll probably end up voting for you.
Good system. Very commendable. Arnold, have you borrowed your way to financial security yet?
We are trying. I've made lots of progress.
Yeah. So far, we borrowed $15 billion to pay a $22 billion debt. The legislature and the comptroller say the budget doesn't make any sense, and we have to borrow another $9 million to cover the shortfall.
That's amazing.
Sure is. Means that minimally we gotta pay $28 billion with interest, which is going up and could double the cost.
That's how Duke Majin and Wilson got us in this mess in the first place.
Yeah, of course, Davis. It's an old Reagan trick. Spend while claiming you aren't.
He's my hero. It's fantastic.
Well, Arnold, the problem is that it doesn't work.
It's all right, Uncle Teddy. By the time they figure it out, I will be president, just like Ron. Don't you think that's fantastic?
Well, I suppose that's one way of looking at it, Arnold.
It just goes along with his outsourcing, Senator.
Outsourcing? What's this about?
It's fantastic. I'm going to save a couple billion.
He hired a Canadian company, CGIAMS, to streamline government services. They want to outsource state jobs to India.
Arnold, that's a terrible idea.
It saves a lot of money, Uncle Ted.
Arnold, that's pretty sleazy.
I hope you don't think you're going to spin your way out of this one, Arnold.
Sure I will. I hired Reagan's old PR agency, Spencer Roberts, to make it sound nice.
Arnold, you'd better read some more about this. It sounds rather dangerous.
Senator, he can't read.
I can too, almost. President Bush sent me some new books. They are fantastic.
The Very Hungry Caterpillar and My Pet Goat.
Who's? Go stand in a corner.
I can't announce people if I'm standing in the corner, Arnold.
I answer my own door. Go stand in a corner.
Gee whiz, Arnold.
You're sure not very compassionate, Arnold.
Well, he married a Kennedy, but he's a Reagan fan.
He was fantastic.
He likes groping women, Senator.
Well, who doesn't?
I don't.
We know, Gray.
For Average Network Short Subject 28, we take you to a dim, smoke-filled backroom in Pittsburgh, PA. Here we find presumptive Democratic nominee John Kerry, his running mate John Edwards, independent candidate Ralph Nader, Dick Gephardt, and Howard Dean, discussing strategy.
Boy, it certainly is dim and smoke-filled back here. I'm certainly glad it's over, I think. I might be glad. Edwards, do you think I'm glad?
Well, I think you probably are, John. Most likely.
There, Ralph. We have a ticket, and it's ready to go. Or at least it seems like it's ready.
Well, Kerry, ready to stand up for corporate hegemony and big bucks?
Now, Ralph, I ain't gonna let big guys stomp on no little guys.
Gosh, Ralph, you're almost as negative as Howard.
I ain't negative, Gephardt. I'm crusty.
Howard? I'm pretty negative, and I think you're pretty negative.
Ralph, nobody cares what you think. They did when you talked about cars.
I hate cars. I'm a lousy driver. I'm unsafe at any speed, but you're not getting me out of this race.
Ralph, you and Peter aren't being realistic.
What's realistic? Dishwashers that eat children? Exploding bicycles?
Ralph, exploding bicycles? Who'd ever design anything like that?
Here.
Oh. You know, I should have guessed they would.
That's right. You should have. But you didn't. If it hadn't been for me, we'd be knee-deep in redisposable gramophones.
But, Ralph, I'm an attorney. I've represented the hurt and downtrodden for over 20 years.
Hey, Edwards, you got rich doing it.
Ralph, you got it all wrong.
Right. You've got it wrong.
I'm a legal Robin Hood. Sure, I make a living.
You make a living, all right.
But I steal from the rich to give to the poor. You see, I protect little tiny Americans from big, fat, mean, ugly corporations. We're going to address all of your concerns, right?
Not either. I'm in this race and I'm going to win.
Ralph, you're delusional. You could not possibly win. You're being funded by Republicans just to damage Kerry.
Why not? Besides, any penny they give me doesn't go to Bush Cheney.
Well, he's got you there, Kerry.
Ralph, listen for a change. Even if by some strange chance that John and I died and George died, and you could win the presidency.
See? I could beat Cheney.
Ralph, I could beat Cheney. Hell, Jimmy Kimmel could beat Cheney.
Even if you could, Ralph, you'd have to be able to work with Congress to get anything done. John and I have worked with Congress. At least I think we have.
Yeah, we have.
We have, right. Besides, John's cute and looks like a beetle. And I look like a big friendly basset hound. You look like a vulture.
And Pete Cameo looks like a shoe clerk. Throw your support to the Johns, and we can work together to repair some of the damage, Ralph.
Nope. I'm going to win because America knows I'm right.
America knows you're nuts.
Nuts? So I'm nuts. Did you think I was nuts when I fought with edible shoes? Flaming pajamas? Cars that can't turn? Peanut-flavored house paint? I was there, fighting, always winning.
And everybody appreciates it. Ralph, you helped save us from Caltech's gigantic chickens. We all admire you, but you can't win. And the numbers show it's our voters you're taking.
Hey, Kerry, well, I don't care. I am winning. Always winning, because I'm always right.
Ralph, what if I offer you health and human services? You could do corporate oversight.
What if you gave me justice?
Ralph, you ain't done no lawyering since I was a boy.
What if I could guarantee I could hang Ashcroft?
Well, say, that's tempting.
I'd like to help. I'm just an old country doctor, but I can commit atrocities on his person.
We could find where Cheney sleeps during the day and drive a stake through his heart.
Sounds good. You may have a deal, Ralph.
If I'd thought of that, I'd still be running.
No
way, you are.
Wouldn't work.
Average Network Short Subject 28 was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. All celebrity impersonations were handcrafted in the shops of Josef Gunkel of Gunningstadt, Switzerland, makers of fine, useless devices since 1722. This is Pablo T. Flies for the Average Network. Stay tuned!
From the Top, Uncle Bob Young out of KPFK Los Angeles with the adventures of Huckleberry Bush. Tales from the Dark Side of the Urban Jungle, Joe Frank, an excerpt. From the Is Nothing Sacred department, Frank Zappa, Purple Haze and Sunshine of Your Love from the best band you never heard. Mr. Schwarzenegger goes to Sacramento and short subject number 28, Uncle Bob Young and the Average Radio Network. You've been listening to The Inner Side, produced, compiled, consolidated in chronological order at KPFT Houston.